Well, gentlemen, I don't know how some of you feel today, but I'm a little bit on the tired side. We had a wonderful men's retreat Friday night and Saturday, and we spent that time together and shared stories and did all kinds of fun things together. That it was really a wonderful time, and I'm very grateful for your presence at that retreat, those of you who are able to be there, and surprisingly enough, I see most of you here this morning, so well done, good and faithful servants. It's good to see you. Our men's retreat gathered around the theme of stories that matter. And one of the things that we did at the retreat was we really took time Friday evening and Saturday morning to reflect on our own stories and then to share those stories and hear the stories of three or four other men in the midst of that. And it fits well with what we're up to at St. Matthew's today, as we heard Judy in this morning in the Faith Forum talk about telling stories. And last week, Barrett talked about stories, and we are in this idea, this way of following Jesus in which our stories matter, and they do. So today we're going to look at three stories that matter. First, I want to look at God's story from the Gospel of Luke, because often God's story matters. The story that we have today from the Gospel of Zacchaeus is one of my favorite stories from my childhood. Every time I read this text in Scripture, I hear the song in my head. Does anybody else know the Zacchaeus song? Yeah. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. When the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." Yes. You all know it, or some of you know it. I forgot some of the words, but, you know, it's been a long time since elementary school or those days, vacation Bible school and stuff. That version of the story of Jesus is, you know, it's about friendship, right? Jesus sees Zacchaeus and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Let's go play." And I love that when I was 6 years old learning this song in my first grade Sunday school vacation Bible school class, because that was gospel for me. Jesus is someone who calls us and tells us he's coming to our house to play. Well, now when I read the scripture and we heard it read today, it's actually about a little bit more than that. As we heard the text read today, it's about transformation. And Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house, and somehow in that encounter with Jesus, as we read it in the gospel, Zacchaeus comes to the point of transformation where he says, "I'm going to give half of all I have to the poor. And if I've hurt anyone, if I have defrauded anyone as a tax collector, I'm going to pay back four times what I've taken." And Jesus says, "Salvation has come this day to this house." Well, that's a powerful story as well. That somehow in the midst of that, we can expect that when we encounter Jesus, Jesus is going to change us somehow, that we're going to be transformed in a way that serves God and serves God's purpose in the world. So that's another, you know, friendship is good, transformation is good. But there's another way of reading this text. There are other ways of translating a couple of the words in this text. So Zacchaeus in Greek means righteous one or holy one. And I don't think that's meant sarcastically in this case. I think when Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he says, "Righteous one, come down." Because what the Greek says a little bit later, and I'd invite you to dwell on this text a bit, substituting the future tense verbs with present tense verbs. Because in the Greek, those verbs, "I give" and "I pay back," are both present tense. For some reason, they got translated future tense in the NRSV. Who knows? But if you read it that way, what it says, Jesus goes to Zacchaeus and says, "Righteous one, holy one, come down. I'm going to stay at your house." And then Zacchaeus responds, "Lord, I give half of what I have to the poor." I pay back four times anyone I have defrauded. So it's not in that sense a story about his being transformed and going to change who he is. He's just telling Jesus, this is who I am. Righteous one, I give half. I pay back four times. And Jesus says, if I can read the fine print without my glasses, today's salvation has come to this house because he is a son of Abraham. Now, if he was just talking to Zacchaeus, he'd say, because you're a son of Abraham. But he says, because he is a son of Abraham. So I think he's actually talking to the crowd at that point, to some people, saying, righteousness has come here because he's a son of Abraham. So in that case, the story is not so much about transformation. It's a story about reconciliation, about Jesus taking this one person that people see as this rich, short guy who's the chief tax collector, so he's got all these tax collectors that are probably out there cheating people, so he's probably just like them, so we're going to have nothing to do with him. And Jesus says, look, today salvation has come to this house. He is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came for the lost. So in that case, this story is not just about friendship, and it's not just about transformation. You can also read it as a story of reconciliation and drawing this one who had been outcast by the community, because you can be rich and outcast too, been drawn into that community again. Now, there might have been some folks in the community who never saw that, don't see it, and don't welcome him, but Jesus is saying, he's one of us. So I think that's an important story for us to remember. All three ways of interpreting it, because, you know, there's more than one way to tell a story. And there's one more than one way to experience God's truth. Well, I have a second story that I want to share. And this also goes back to my youth. I was raised in the Lutheran Church. And in the Lutheran Church, today's a big day, because today is Reformation Day in the Lutheran Church. And when I was growing up in that church, that meant we wore red. It was kind of like another Pentecost. And we sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," loudly. And it was that day of the church year when we just celebrated how great it was to be Lutheran. It was kind of fun. And the reason was because in 1517, Martin Luther, on October 31st, took these 95 theses and pounded them to the door of the Wittenberg Church, because that is how, as an academic, you sort of put up a challenge for debate and for conversation around these ideas. That's what he was intending to do. And it was ideas that he had found some discrepancy with what he had come to believe about God and what the Catholic Church was teaching about God at that point. In terms of indulgences and all these kinds of things. So he was saying, no, that's not really about what it's about. It's actually about God's grace, and that we are saved by grace through faith, not by the indulgences that we buy or those kinds of things. It should have been a good conversation. It actually turned into a 30-year war that the bloodshed has lessened, but the war continued, in a sense, between Catholics and Protestants, really until Vatican II in the 1960s, when there was some more coming together, of a sense. And now there is this ongoing ecumenical dialogue since Vatican II that is important. But I tell you this story because tomorrow something interesting is going to happen. Tomorrow in Lund, Sweden, Pope Francis and his entourage from the Catholic Church are meeting with a Lutheran delegation from the Lutheran World Federation, which is all the Lutherans in the world. So representatives of all the Lutherans and all the Catholics are going to get together in Sweden and have common prayer together. Now, in the world of God, that shouldn't seem like a big deal. But this is a big deal. And the reason they're doing it is because we're celebrating, we're entering into the 500th year since that Reformation. And I think there's a sincere attempt both to commemorate, not to celebrate, but to commemorate that reality, but also to reconcile, in a sense. Not that the Lutherans and Catholics are going to emerge, because we still got stuff to fight about. But that's theological stuff. And Pope Francis has said very recently that we're not going to fight about the theological stuff. We're going to get together and serve. So there are some major attempts in this year for the Catholic Charities and all of their organizations and Lutheran World Relief and all of our organizations in the Lutheran tradition to come together, to work together, to serve together for the sake of the poor. And Pope Francis has called for us to work together for the sake of climate change and all of these things. It's a deal, okay? It's a story that has continuing in a new way moving forward into this 500th year since the Reformation. Now, in the Anglican Church, we have our own story of Reformation, and we're a part of that as well. But we joined the Reformation a little bit later. You know, it took a while for it to get from Germany to England, and we have our own story of Reformation. But you were all invited into this time to come together for the sake of the poor, for the sake of creation, and for the sake of a Christian witness that says we are better united than we are divided, that we are more like God when we are together and reconciled than we are at odds and fighting each other. So I also just want to mention that joint service is going to be live streamed tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So if any of you want to see what happens when Lutherans and Catholics get together in Sweden, just go to one of the ELCA or other websites and you'll find a link to this live stream there, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Might be interesting, who knows. So that's the second story. I just want to jump to a third story. And this one you're more familiar with, so I probably won't take as long to tell. But the third story is about St. Matthew's Episcopal Church and our story together. Because this is a story that matters. Just like the other stories we talked about, they're stories that matter. Today's Commitment Sunday. Hopefully you all remembered and you're ready to bring forward your commitments and your promises and your pledges and things today. Well, I've been here now for about a year, give or take. And if I were to reflect back to you a little bit about who St. Matthew's is and what I have learned about you in this year that I have been together with you, it is that I think we have something missing in our way of following Jesus. And what is missing, at least in the words, is not missing in how we follow Jesus. That's my point here. We don't have it on that list of things that we talk about as our way of following Jesus. What I am seeing in you that we haven't listed is commitment, passion, faithfulness. I've served in a bunch of churches, but I don't know that I've been in one that is quite as committed and passionate as you are about seeking what it is that God is up to in the world and doing whatever it is that you do in service of God and church for the sake of what God is up to in the world. So today's Commitment Sunday, but at St. Matthew's, every day is Commitment Sunday. Every day you are living your faithfulness in a very passionate way. So if you just look around you, see the people around you and think about the things that they do in service of God here and outside of the church and think about how they do it. I haven't seen anybody here do anything grudgingly. You know? I haven't seen anybody do it because, well, I guess I have to. Everything I've seen you do here, you pour your heart into. And I think that's because you believe the story matters too. I think it's because you believe that what God is up to in the world is actually important and that what we do here as a church and as individual members of this church matters. I see it in Grace's art show downstairs, the weavings and the icons. I see her passion. I've tasted it in the meals that Rosa and all of those folks have prepared for us. I think she's cooked more meals for my family than I have. Not my wife. My wife cooks a lot, but more than I have. I see it in the work of the vestry and the staff. The staff just does everything they do out of love and passion for God. I hear it in the voices of the choir. Just look around. God's story matters, and we believe it,
and therefore our stories matter. And I forgot to mention, Blair is one who passionately believes that God is up to something in the world, and she's going to lead us into figuring out what that is and joining and doing. Well, I'm tired, and it's showing up in my tears and other things, but it's also real in that this is a place where we meet God, and it matters. So blessings to you on this Commitment Sunday. What a blessing it is to walk in the way of Jesus with you. Amen.